May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Years as a priest. Thank you so much, Hillary, Holy Comforter, for giving me this opportunity between jobs and on such an anniversary to have a pulpit and an altar to be at. Thank you. It is quite a generous gift, and you have been quite a generous host. Thank you. In those 22 years, you can imagine I've done quite a few weddings. And if you've ever been to a wedding, you know, in a church, 9 times out of 10, you will hear 1 Corinthians 13 read. Not 10 times out of 10, but 9 times out of 10, and for good reason. It is one of these passages that has this huge, bigger meaning that we get to know better from a particular setting. It's not about a couple, it's about a community, but we get to hear it and understand the kind of love that God calls us to as community by thinking about it in kind of love that people are making as the two stand there and make a vow to each other. And I'll go into that in my homilies at almost every wedding. I'll talk about the whole community. If you've ever been to a funeral, you know that 9 times out of 10, you will have heard today's passage. Let not your hearts be troubled. Because in that particular setting, in that particular time in our lives, this passage, which is about so much more, is broken up open for us in a particular way that allows us to enter into it. But I never really go into those other ways during a funeral homily because that's not the time or place. So we get to do that today. We get to play with this passage a little bit more on its own rather than in terms of our own grief or open wounds. Let not your heart be troubled. It comes at a point for the disciples at a particular time when they are troubled. And maybe that's why we enter into this Maundy Thursday setting here on the 5th Sunday of Easter. This is said at that table on that last night when Jesus is with his disciples and he has knelt down and washed their feet to some protest. And Judas has just left. Judas has just walked out into the dark, into the night to betray him. And Peter, full of bluster and conviction, says, "Not me, never me, Lord." And Jesus says, "Yes. Yes, you." Because that's the verse right before this. "Tonight, before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times. Let not your hearts be troubled. Let not your hearts be troubled. It's going to get ugly tonight. You are so out of joint and out of kilter. Their whole vision of what Messiah, who they had found, is crumbling before them. Messiah, who is to overcome the oppressors and set the oppressed free, to bring about justice and peace. Let not your hearts be troubled. It's not going to look like what you think it is. You believe in God. I know you do. I've been hanging out with you for these years. You believe in God. Believe also in me." You can just see Jesus leaning into him. "Peter, yeah, you're going to deny me. But don't let your hearts be troubled. I've got both the future and the now. In my Father's house, there are many..." Well, if you memorized it back when I did, it was mansions. But the Greek word there, meno, is based on the word that we've been hearing in this gospel, abiding places, places of rest, of connection. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. We started the gospel with Jesus having a couple of John's disciples come to him and say, where are you abiding? Same word. And Jesus says, come and see. And it says they came and they dwelt. They abided with him. Abiding is about a relationship. It's about a connection. Jesus will go on at the same meal and talk about vines and branches, unless the branch abides in the vine, it cannot have life. In my Father's house are many places for this connection to take place, for this dwelling, this remaining, this abiding, and I'm making it happen. Peter, you are not making it happen. So don't let your heart be troubled. This is a statement of grace, of gift, of mercy. When you are troubled, when the world is crumbling, I've got this, Jesus says. I've got this. You don't have to. I've got the future and the now. We read this so often in terms of funerals that we think it's just about high in the sky, by and by, and I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, and it is for the disciples about that day. Abide in me and I in you. And in that is the only power you need. A source of life, connectedness, home. Because that's what we think of when we hear these words. Don't let your hearts be troubled. In my Father's house, there are many places for many to find a home, to find that connection, that aching place that your heart needs to go to be connected. And you know what? You know the way. And this is where we move from comfortable words to what I find are uncomfortable words, and I actually don't even read them at most funerals because they have been so misused for so long. Thomas goes, well, no, we don't know the way. We don't know where you're going. We don't know the way. And Jesus says, you know me. This way that I have been, I am that way. You're not the way. I'm the one making this happen. I am the way to this connection. And I'm the life and the truth. This is not a verse that sits out there as a theological treatise to bludgeon people with. Oh, we're in and you're out because we've got the way and you don't. This is Jesus leaning into disciples on a very troubling night and saying, it's okay because you know me. You're not going to get lost. And there are many dwelling places. And I have many sheep who are not of this fold, and I'm making places for them too. And it is through me. Not through you getting it right or you being able to understand it well enough to pass judgment. It is from you following and abiding in me. And you know what? If you do that, the works that I have done, guess what? It's just beginning. If you abide in me and I in you, the works will be even greater in you. Now, we go, okay, so like I'm just going to pour water tonight and I'm going to sit and pray over it. And there will be the best Cabernet. Water into wine, healing the sick, raising the dead. What is this, Lord? The works I do, you will do greater? So every time you hear that and you find yourself thinking there again, remember to go back to what Jesus' works really are. Those were signs. They're called signs all the way through the gospel. They're signs of who Jesus is. They are not works that Jesus does. The works that Jesus does can be summed up in one word: love. Love one another as I have loved you. Abide in me, and you can do this. You can love in ways that are greater than your biggest imagination. Do you believe that? Greater works. So today, no matter what the troubling is, and that's one of the pieces that's so universal, we all know what troubled hearts feel like. whether it is at the graveside of someone we have loved dearly, whether it is standing in the midst of geopolitical chaos, whether it's job insecurity, family dynamic issues. On this Mother's Day, for those whose hearts break as the world around them paints it in a pretty picture with Hallmark colors, and their hearts are broken because their mother is no longer with them, or the child that they had dreamed about becoming a mother with is no longer with them or never was, or their mother was abusive. There are all kinds of ways to have troubled hearts. Let not your hearts be troubled. It is not up to us to make the way that has been done. So at the graveside, it is so important to remember that God's love has that moment for eternity. God has taken care of it. And in the troubling moments of our everyday life, it is important to remember that God's got this. God's got this. God's love has this totally covered. And whether we find ourselves in a moment like Peter did, where we deny that we have ever known that love, or we find ourselves later standing with Peter, being drawn back into it, it is God's love that does it. Abide in me. Let not your hearts be troubled. No matter what has you today, God's got you greater. Abide in me, and I will abide in you, and greater works will be done. Does this community believe that? You have it within you as you abide in Christ to turn the world upside down with a love it has never seen before. I've seen a little taste of it today as you welcomed me. I know you manage ways of offering that to the world, whether it's just posting a simple sign of a safety pin by the door to say, God's got you. Love rules here. Be the beloved community. Abide. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Amen.